Okay, the title that or topic rather that I'm going to be talking about today is experiencing a lack of faith and the consequences of that. In this message, I will show you with God's guidance what a lack of faith looks like, why our trust in God wavers, and be encouraged to maintain our faith at every turn. I'll also go over the consequences of failing to trust God so that we might avoid the sorrow and frustration of missing God's plan, being diligent about growing in our faith. Faith is one of God's most important gifts because we are saved through faith. Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. We are also called to live by faith every day. Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Yet there are circumstances that may cause our faith to falter. If we yield to these doubts, negative consequences will inevitably follow. The Bible includes examples of people who walked by faith and those who failed to believe him. In these stories, we see how our focus determines whether our faith fails or grows stronger. A lack of faith can be defined simply as a failure to express faith or trust God when confronted by a challenge, trial, or temptation. One of the most obvious examples of this is found in Numbers chapter 13 and 14. After living in Egypt for around 430 years, the children of Israel were rescued by God from slavery. He miraculously parted the Red Sea for their escape, drowned the pursuing Egyptian army, and led the people through the desert to the edge of the land he'd promised them. Moses chose 12 men, one from each of the tribes of Israel, to spy out the land of Canaan, as recorded in Numbers chapter 13, verses 17 through 25, which says, "Then Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan, and said to them, 'Go up this way into the south, and go up to the mountains, and see what the land is like, whether the people who dwell in it are strong or weak, few or many, whether the land they dwell in is good or bad, whether the cities they inhabit are like camps or strongholds, whether the land is rich or poor, whether there are forests there or not, be of good courage, and bring some of the fruit of the land.' Now the time was the season of the first ripe grapes. So they went up and spied out the land from the wilderness of Zin as far as Rehob, near the entrance of Hamath. And they went up through the south and came to Hebron. And Hamin, Sheshe, and Talmai, and the descendants of Anak, were there. Then they came to the valley of Eshcol, and there cut down a branch with one cluster of grapes. And they carried it between two men on a pole. They also brought some of the pomegranates and figs. The place was called the Valley of Eshcol because of the cluster which the men of Israel cut down there. And they returned from spying out the land after 40 days. They returned to report that the land was good and fruitful. Verse 26, now they departed and came back to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel, and in the wilderness of Haran at Kadesh. They brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. But here is where the lack of faith happened, as recorded in verse 27 and 28. Then they, the spies other than Jacob and Joshua, told him, talking about Moses, "We went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak, which are the giants, there." Caleb, one of the spies, quieted the people and trusted the Lord. Verse 30. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it." Caleb and Joshua both had faith in God and knew that as long as God was on their side, they would be victorious. But the other spies gave a bad report, and because they doubted God. Continuing on in verse 31, "But the men who had gone up with him," talking about Caleb, "said, 'We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we.' And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, 'The land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature.' There we saw the giants, the descendants of Anak, and we were like grasshoppers in our sight, and so we were in their sight." Moses had sent the 12 spies in order to determine what was the best strategy for conquering the land. But 10 of them gave a bad report that discouraged the people from even trying to enter Canaan. Only Caleb and Joshua believed God would enable them to take the land that he had promised them. Upon hearing this bad report from the 10 spies, the Israelites' faith had failed. The congregation wept loudly all night and accused God of bringing them to this land to be killed by their enemies, who would then take their wives and little ones captives, as stated in Numbers 14:1-3. So all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron. And the whole congregation said to them, "If only we had died in the land of Egypt, or if only we had died in this wilderness. Why has the Lord brought us to this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and children should become victims? Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt?" Instead of the Israelites trusting the Lord to overcome the inhabitants of Canaan, they wanted to go back to Egypt, the land of their former slavery. The congregation chose to believe the bad report, and they grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The prospect of difficulty caused the people to forget all the ways God had blessed them and proved himself faithful. He had miraculously rescued them from Egypt. Keep in mind that he had parted the Red Sea, stopped the Egyptian army, who was very powerful at the time, from capturing them, and guided them through the wilderness with a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night to the land he had promised them. But instead of trusting the Lord to continue to fulfill his promises to them, they were ready to go back to the Egyptian slavery. A little further down in Numbers, in chapter 14, you see where Caleb and Joshua tried to encourage the people to trust God and warn them not to rebel against him or fear the people of the land, since the Lord was for the Israelites and had removed the protection from their enemies. Starting in verse 6, but Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes. And they spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, the land we passed through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. Instead of heeding the faithful spies' advice, the people wanted to stone them. In verse 10, and all the congregation said to stone them with stones. The people were in such fear over the 10 doubting spies' bad report on the land and its inhabitants that they were willing to kill to prevent this bad report from possibly coming true. Then the glory of the Lord appeared and spoke to Moses. In verse 10, now the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of meeting before all the children of Israel. The Lord said to Moses, how long will these people reject me? And how long will they not believe me with all the signs which I had performed among them? Since the congregation chose to listen to the wrong voices rather than trust the word of the Almighty God, their faithfulness cost them the promised land. Instead of possessing Canaan, they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years until they all died. 1 year for every day the spies were in the promised land. Only their children, along with Caleb and Joshua, were allowed to enter the land. In his goodness, mercy, and love, the Lord had offered them an amazing blessing, a land of their own. But they refused to believe him. Remember, a lack of faith is a failure to trust God when confronted with a challenge, trial, or tribulation. Instead of believing that his promise was certain, they made the biggest mistake of their lives by listening to the wrong voices and rejecting the Lord and his promised land. So what causes a lack of faith to happen in one's life? Well, there are five valuable lessons out of many in this story to help us understand why faith may falter in our lives. First one is fear of failure. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. The Lord doesn't want us to yield to our fears, but to cling to his promises. Like the Israelites, we have every reason to believe God because we have experienced his faithfulness in our lives as well. Second one is false information. Although all of the spies saw the same things in Canaan, only Caleb and Joshua trusted God because they remembered his faithfulness in delivering them from Egypt. The other 10 gave the congregation false information by predicting that they could not overcome the people of the land. Foolishly, the people listened to the wrong voices and believed the dire prediction. Third is failure to recall the Lord's past power. The congregation's response to the situation was not based on proven capability of God, but on themselves and their inability to conquer the land he had promised them. Although the Lord had demonstrated his power through the miraculous deliverance from Egypt and the parting of the Red Sea, all this was forgotten in the face of what they perceived as an insurmountable obstacle. Again, only two of the spies believed that the Lord would empower them to conquer the land. If God had overpowered Egypt, surely he could conquer and overcome the people of Canaan. Fourth is failure to see circumstances from God's perspective. The Israelites looked at the giants and fortified cities through human eyes, but Joshua and Caleb saw them through the Lord's eyes. He is Almighty God and will accomplish whatever he promises. And the fifth one is focusing on the obstacles rather than on the Lord. The people could only see defeat and death ahead of them, and because they saw their problems were bigger than God. Instead of looking ahead to all that God had promised them, they looked back to Egypt. What they failed to recognize was that the Lord was bigger than giants and stronger than walled cities. Christians may be tempted to think that doubting God now and then is no big deal. In fact, we all do it at times, especially when facing challenging situations. What we may not realize is that a blessing is on the other side of that problem if we will simply trust and obey God. But if we doubt and disobey him, the consequences may be serious and irreversible. This is exactly what the Israelites discovered when they yielded to fear and refused to obey the Lord. I had a lack of faith that I want to share with you guys that happened in my life. Back in the early parts of COVID, in the first part of 2020, I had been working at a job for upwards of 18 years, and I had just started feeling like things were going well. You could ask my wife, a lot of times I was saying, pretty much, don't put anything on the walls, don't get settled, because I might not have a job anymore. So, but then I started feeling like we were doing well and things were going great. I think with that, I started kind of turning attention more towards the world and rather away from God and relying on him. And I feel now that that was a lesson learned, because I had gotten a call from my former boss, and he used to work there and it had been 2 years, and he called me out of the blue and said, Brandon, was offered a job at a company here in town with my former owner, because he had started this company and then sold it and moved on, and then he started another one. And he said, I got a job offer there, but I'm happy with the job I have. Maybe you would be interested in it. And I thought to myself, my first instinct was, no, I'm doing good. Job's doing great finally. But something in me told me, well, maybe I should just see what they do. I'm just curious. I won't worry about getting the job. I just want to see what they do. Well, that was on Wednesday, and I had set up an interview on Tuesday the following week. On Monday, I got a call from the owner of the company saying he was shutting down the production facility in Laramie, Wyoming, and I would be losing my job in about 3 months. So I thought to myself, well, now I better take this interview seriously. So I went in, went through the interview, and lo and behold, I ended up getting the job. That was great. I knew that was a God thing. I mean, there was no ifs, ands, or buts. I told people that when I was leaving the job. I said God had laid this in my lap. I was not looking for a job, and he said, I know this is coming. I'm going to offer you a job so you can stay here. However, even though I knew that, and I knew that was something that God wanted me to do, I started looking at the obstacles in front of me, the giants and the fortresses that I saw. which was the new job, new responsibilities, new requirements, things I did not understand and I'd have to learn. There was travel involved. There was speaking in front of people. All that started weighing in on me, and I started getting more and more fearful. And I ended up fretting for quite a while over the job, to the point where I almost lost a job because I was just ready to just not do it at all. I wanted to do something else. I just didn't want to do this. I thought I couldn't do it. Luckily, the Lord was still there and was guiding me through it and helped me, so that I ended up with a job still at that company, just not the original one that started out. And I am enjoying the job that I have now, but if I would have taken, in my response to that trial, that obstacle, I guess you could say, was I had a lack of faith in God, and I didn't trust Him and feel like things were going well. So much so that I ended up losing 30 to 40 pounds because I quit eating and I wouldn't sleep. And looking back on that, this message here, you know, brought it to my attention as well, that, you know, the way we respond to things can affect it, especially with faith. If I would have had more faith in what God had planned for me, I wouldn't have gone through all that. I would have been a lot easier transition going into the job, and who knows where I'd be at now. But God was faithful in my life still, even though I wasn't, and I am so thankful for that. So, how did the Israelites respond to theirs? Well, they were bitterly disappointed. While standing on the border with God's promise in sight, they responded by weeping and crying all night and grumbling against Moses and Aaron because they didn't believe they could conquer the land. They had a distorted view of their circumstances. Although Israel had repeatedly experienced God's faithfulness, they quickly forgot all He had done for them in the past and were overcome with doubts of His goodness, power, and truthfulness. As a result, they refused to enter the land as He had commanded. They caused others to suffer. Although Moses interceded for Israel and God pardoned them for their sin, the severe consequences of their disobedience remained. Numbers 14, verses 22 and 23 say, "Because all these men who have seen my glory and the signs which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness and have put me to the test now these 10 times and have not heeded my voice, they certainly shall not see the land of which I swore to their fathers, nor shall any of those who rejected me see it." The penalty for their disobedience was death, as stated a little further down in the chapter, starting in verse 29. "The carcasses of you who have complained against me shall fall in this wilderness, all of you who were numbered according to your entire number, from 20 years old and above, except for Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun. You shall by no means enter the land which I swore I would make you dwell in." Their disobedience also affected their children. And as I can say in my situation, my disobedience affected my wife. And she had to go through the same struggles that I was going, and I put her through that. In verse 33 says, "And your sons shall be shepherds in the wilderness 40 years, and bear the brunt of your infidelity until your carcasses are consumed in the wilderness." The Israelites also made things even worse by trying to correct their disobedience without the help of God. When Moses told the people of the Lord's decree, they mourned greatly and tried to change the outcome. Continue on in verse 39. "Then Moses told these words to all the children of Israel, and the people mourned greatly. And they rose early in the morning and went up to the top of the mountain, saying, here we are, and we will go up to the place which the Lord has promised, for we have sinned. Although God is faithful to forgive the sins of those who repent, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He doesn't erase the consequences. Galatians 6:7. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. Israel's attempt to avoid God's penalty for their disobedience only resulted in further rebellion against him. Moses warned them, as stated in Numbers 14:41-33. And Moses said, "Now why do you transgress the command of the Lord? For this will not succeed. Do not go up, lest you be defeated by your enemies, for the Lord is not among you." For the Amalekites and the Canaanites are there before you, and you shall fall by the sword. Because you have turned away from the Lord will not be with you. But the Israelites refused to listen, and as a result suffered a great military defeat. Continuing on in verse 44, it says, "But they presumed to go up to the mountaintop. Nevertheless, neither the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord nor Moses departed from the camp." And then the Amalekites and Canaanites who dwelt in that mountain came down and attacked them and drove them back as far as Hormah. This segment of Israel's history has lessons for us because we too struggle dealing with the lack of faith in our lives from time to time. I know I have. When we listen to the wrong voices, even the voices in our head, we lose our focus on the Lord and His Word. Then we forget His past faithfulness to us, develop a distorted view of the situation, and back away in fear from opportunities God places before us. Psalms 27:1, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" 2 Timothy 1:7, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind." One final thought that I will leave you with, and then we will close in prayer. The solution to dealing with lack of faith in our lives is to get into God's Word and let it become our focus. Then we must remember that the Lord is always faithful to His Word and promises to be with us wherever we go. Joshua 1:9. "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, again, I just want to thank you for all that you do and continue to do in our lives, Lord, and that as we come and go about our daily lives and we approach those obstacles, those giants and fortresses in our lives, Lord, I just pray that instead of us focusing on that, Lord, that we just turn to you, look up to you, Lord, and rely on your strength and know that you are with us and are guiding us through each step of the way, and that if we follow you and are faithful, Lord, you will carry us through and bring us to the end that you had intended for us, Lord. And I just pray that we can rely on that and grow stronger and just not fall by the wayside as the world just seems to be pushing back and becoming more and more against you, Lord. So I just praise you and lift you up. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.